Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, the 28th of December, 2011, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And a big shout out to our friends listening up in Globe and Gila County on KJAA AM 1240, and in Douglas and Cochise County, people listen to the Buckmaster Show, our friends at KAPR AM 930. We stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and there are now three venues for your 24/7 anytime listening of this program: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We will start the show in a few moments with our monthly visit with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Get your New Year's health resolutions ready. We'd love to hear from you and those resolutions. And perhaps Dr. Mazes can tell us whether or not she thinks they're doable. Then we'll talk with the Reverend Robin Hoover, founder of the humanitarian organization known as Humane Borders. And we close out the show with our CEO interview series presented by TRIO. Today's guest is Mara Aspinall, the president and CEO of Ventana Medical Systems in Oro Valley. And we do encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And the Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. That program was started in 1994 by Dr. Andrew Weil, who will be with us 1 week from today here on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mazes is a professor of medicine, family and community medicine, and public health at the University of Arizona. She is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She lectures worldwide to academic and community audiences on integrative medical education, women's health, healthy aging, nutrition, and cancer. She's the co-author of Integrative Women's Health. Happy New Year, Victoria.
Thank you. How are you?
Did you have a great holiday season so far?
I am having a wonderful holiday season. Yes.
You're not overeating or being tempted by all the sugary goodies?
Well, everyone gets tempted, and it's true that there's certainly around a lot this year, this time of year, which makes it hard to follow a healthier diet. Certainly, you know, one of the factors is how much are you exposed to either things that promote health or things that sort of get you off your path?
There are lots of temptations this time of year, and we'll start the ball rolling with the Bill Buckmaster Healthy New Year's Resolution, and we would like to hear from you, 790-2040. Please let us know if you have a healthy New Year's resolution, and we'd love to hear from you and try to figure out how you are going to be keeping it. Well, mine is, Dr. Mazes, I'd like to lose some weight. Why don't we say 5 to 10 pounds? And going along with that, eating less sugar. I am a cookie monster of the first degree. And for cookie monsters, this time of year, it's very difficult. Well, especially when my producer, Rosemary Brandt, brought me in my Christmas gift last week, this beautiful tin of some chocolate chip cookies. Oh, my goodness.
Is everyone salivating? Well, you know, I think that for New Year's resolutions and really for any behavior change, we really have to pay attention to three different things. One is your brain. Well, Bill, you've been doing health issues forever, so your brain knows about the risks of sugar and cookies.
I know all about it, but it is that knowing about it is overridden by Oh, they just taste so good.
Right. So then there's the two other factors. So first is like, do you have the right information in your brain, which sometimes people don't, and we can get to that in different areas. The second is the whole emotional relationship to whatever the change is. So for you, you know, I could just see you smiling as you think about those wonderful cookies and the taste, and probably it taps into your nostalgia around holidays from your childhood. And
how'd you know? I'm telling you, I'm already thinking about one of those cookies for after my lunch today. Now that is, I do know the risks of, you know, too much sugar, but is there something then, so you're saying there's something in the brain that's keyed to those kind of good memories?
Well, in your emotional sense and your relationship to them, absolutely. That's why it gets you every time, because otherwise your brain would override your emotions. And then the third part, and I think particularly this time of year it's difficult, is, you know, the context. So in general, people don't bring cookies into work every day of the week, every day of the year, but they sure do around the holidays.
Oh, yes.
And so you're surrounded by a temptation, and that makes it much more difficult to follow through on your resolution.
And right now, out in the kitchen here at KVOI is a and has not been cut into yet, a beautiful cherry pie. So, I mean, no, the temptations are definitely there. And the sugar... is sugar addicting?
Some people believe it is. And one of the reasons that it may in fact be so is that carbohydrates, sugar is a simple kind of carbohydrate, actually raise serotonin levels in your brain. And serotonin is one of those neurotransmitters that we think is clearly related to mood. In fact, the major class of antidepressants are serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which means that the serotonin sticks around longer and is able to have more of an effect in your brain. So some people certainly think it is. The other thing that can happen is that when you eat sugary foods, you get a bump in your blood sugar, and then your pancreas secretes insulin, which corrects it. But when you eat really simple sugars that are rapidly digested, there's often an overcorrection. So you actually, your blood sugar goes down below normal, which then leads you to seek out more sugar because you want to feel normal and not that sort of jittery low blood sugar feeling.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a New Year's resolution related to health, we'd love to hear from you. Other resolutions that I have jotted down, and I'm not a smoker, but I know many people are smokers. They want to quit smoking this time of year, and we will have our friends from the ASH line, the quit smoking ASH line based at the University of Arizona, on the program tomorrow. But that certainly is one of the top resolutions, isn't it, Dr. Mazes?
Yes, and quitting smoking is another classic example of where your brain knows that this is a dangerous and unhealthy behavior. But emotionally, we get hooked, and we get hooked because it may help us relieve stress. Sometimes people smoke because they feel like it's what helps them maintain their weight. It becomes a habit that's associated with your first cup of coffee in the morning or when you get in the car to drive. And so there's an example where you're going to really need to think about, well, if you're smoking as a way to manage stress, what could you do instead? What other behavior could you replace that with? If you're smoking to help maintain your weight, what could you do instead? If you smoke when you get in your car, first thing, well, could you bike instead? Could you use your bike to commute to work or for other kinds of activities? So you're trying to both manage the emotions and also change the context of where it is a habit until you develop a newer, healthier habit.
We didn't mention exercise, which is, of course, another big resolution that many people have, and that's tied in to the weight loss. And this might be a misconception that if you work out, you're going to work out big time in the new year and you think you're going to lose a lot of weight. That may not happen.
Well, exercise, I think, is certainly part of anybody's weight loss plan. It's a really critical part. But I think people are sometimes surprised by how much exercise it really takes to lose weight. We know that 30 minutes a day of exercise is a health-promoting behavior. It helps all kinds of things, from keeping your heart healthy to your brain healthy to helping prevent cancer. It turns out if you want to maintain your weight, you probably need about 60 minutes a day, and for weight loss, as much as 90 minutes a day.
Woo.
Right. Most people find that shocking.
Yes. And counting calories still is probably the tried and true way to lose weight.
And counting calories certainly works for some people. That's, for example, the formula behind Weight Watchers, which definitely helps a lot of people. Although I think Weight Watchers helps for other reasons as well. It's a way of keeping yourself accountable. You're going in regularly to weigh. You may be participating in the group support, which then helps you deal with some of the emotional reasons that you eat. But it also looks at calories. And I think the problem is that we have thought in the past that all calories are the same. They have the same effect on the body. And now we know that's just simply not true, that there are different metabolic effects of different foods on the body. So a calorie is not a calorie is not a calorie. It's different if it's coming from a simple carbohydrate, a whole grain, a protein, a fat. The effect on the body is different.
People make resolutions to eat right, eat better, not eat as much junk food, and that gets back to a lot of the junk food has sugar in it.
It has sugar, it has high fructose corn syrup, and those are metabolized differently by the body. They have particular effects on the pancreas, as I mentioned, in terms of bumping up insulin. They have particular effects on the liver and can contribute to something called fatty liver. And so that's a classic example of where different calories can have different effects. And so there really are good foods, which are things we talk about here all the time, like vegetables and fruits and whole grains and lean forms of protein and omega-3 fats. And then there are really way, way, way unhealthy foods like trans fats. No disagreement there anymore about trans fats. Or one that's a little more controversial, how much saturated fat should you have? How much animal protein versus vegetable protein? And so these do have different effects on your health and on your risk for different diseases and also on your weight.
Read the labels. That's a start, isn't it?
Yes, reading labels is definitely a good idea. And if the first ingredient is high fructose corn syrup or sugar, cane sugar, those are dangerous. And the tricky part is that manufacturers have become very careful of how they list things. So, for example, they may split up and instead of having it all be high fructose corn syrup, there may be some of that and some fructose and some cane sugar and some molasses and some honey.
They mix up the formula.
Exactly.
Huh?
These are all forms of sugars in terms of what your body does with them. But because there are five different ones, they come out as ingredients number 3, 4, 7, 8, and 9, as opposed to the first ingredient. So we say, oh, there's not that much sugar, but that's not the case.
We'll continue with Dr. Victoria Mazes talking about healthy New Year's resolutions. If you'd like to join the conversation, 790-2040. We will be back with Dr. Mazes after we hear from the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
On the Buckmaster Show, we're talking about healthy New Year's resolutions. Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us, the Executive Director of the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. That's the program started by Dr. Andrew Weil in 1994. We'll have Dr. Weil with us 1 week from today here on the Buckmaster Show. And Dr. Mazes, of course, Dr. Weil has been talking about, I think his new book is about happiness, right?
Yes,
what's
it is.
What's it take called, to be happy?
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's called Spontaneous Happiness, and it's been very well received on the New York Times bestseller list.
A lot of people do make a resolution to be happier.
Yes, I think that's a wonderful resolution. In his book, and I'm sure you'll get to speak with him about it, he points to many ways. One that I find is particularly intriguing is he talks about gratitude and actually using a gratitude journal where every day you write about three things you feel particularly grateful for and how that alone can affect your overall level of happiness.
We were talking about, in the first segment, losing weight. It's usually at the top of everyone's resolution list. There are places that are very famous here in Tucson that people go to lose weight, Canyon Ranch and, of course, Miraval. And that setting for both of those is very conducive, obviously, to getting into a more disciplined lifestyle when it comes to weight loss.
Yes, I think
But you can't have that necessarily in your own home, or can you?
Well, maybe you can, but I think first it's good to think about what are they doing right. You know, so they have beautiful settings that are very conducive to exercise because cars are usually not allowed to drive around the premises. So you do a lot of walking to go to meals or classes or wherever you're wanting to go. You're just walking a lot in the course of your day, which unfortunately many of us don't do. They serve you very healthy, very attractive, small portions of food. So they help you healthy food, exactly. Someone else has prepared it. It's placed in front of you. You don't have to make a lot of effort to get the healthy food. You know, you don't have to reach past the chips or the cookies or the ice cream. I mean, it's the food that you want to be eating. And you're in a setting where most people are motivated to be doing the right healthy thing. Most people are exercising every day, and most people are eating the healthy food, and the staff encourages you. And so the context is one where it's really quite easy to be healthy at a spa. The challenge, of course, is what do you do, you know, when you go home? And I think it bears thinking about what can you recreate. The other thing I'd say is when we're at the spa, we're often on vacation, so our stress levels may be down, and sometimes people eat unhealthily when they're stressed. It's a comfort food way of managing stress.
And that was on my list here, not to worry so much, not to be so perhaps controlling, kind of let go.
Are those your resolutions too?
No, I just was, these are some of the, I've got a list here of 10 resolutions. No, I was thinking perhaps somebody might be thinking, well, maybe this would be a good time to maybe change their the thought process about take a little of the stress away.
Right.
De-stress.
Right. So it's you know, to make a New Year's resolution is easy just to say it. But then I think you actually need an action plan because our habits are entrenched. So the way we're doing our lives right now, you know, our habitual ways, and there's a reason we do it that way. It works for us on some level. And so to develop new habits, we really need a plan. And, you know, that could be going through your cupboards at home and getting rid of all of the unhealthy food. If it's intact, you know, there are places you can donate food to, although I would recommend donating healthy food, not just unhealthy food. But, you know, just get rid of it. Lose that part of the temptation. If it's going to be exercise, when are you going to do it every day? For a lot of people, first thing in the morning is what works best. So they know they've gotten it done and it doesn't keep getting put off. But I'd say schedule it. Look at your calendar and figure out when is the best time. Sometimes holding yourself accountable, and there's different ways to do that. For example, buddying up with someone. If someone's waiting for you at 6 a.m. at the park to go for that walk, you're probably going to show up.
Yeah, and rather than leave them waiting to do their walk alone, exercising at night perhaps might not be as good a time because you kind of, I don't know.
Well, it sort of depends on the person. For example, in my life, I really like exercising as a transition between work and home. Mm-hmm. And my energy is better for exercise in the afternoon than it is first thing in the morning. But for many people, first thing in the morning works really well. You can bargain with yourself. That's another thing. You wake up and you go, I just don't feel like it. And you tell yourself, I'm going to do five minutes. And that sometimes is a little easier to get into. And once you've done the 5 minutes, sometimes you can make it 10 or 15 or 20. But not to just give in without wrestling with these new habits.
How about supplements, making a commitment for some supplements in the new year?
Well, you know, on one level, that sounds like such an easy one. It doesn't take much time. But if you're not used to taking pills, if you're, you know, forget about it, you have to, again, make a plan. Where are you going to purchase them? What time are you going to take them? Sometimes people link them to brushing their teeth or to the noon meal or whatever it might be, again, to develop a new habit. Sometimes developing a mental image in your brain. So I notice, for example, that women's magazines are always selling, how are you going to look in your bathing suit in the late spring? I mean, that probably wouldn't work now, right? We're not thinking about going out in a bathing suit.
We're not thinking about that.
But, you know, in the spring, as we project to summer and we project what are we going to look like and how are we going to feel as we go out in our bathing suit, our motivation can get higher for following our healthy diet and following our exercise plan.
Have you made a resolution?
I struggle.
You don't usually make resolutions.
Well, you know, I sometimes do. The one that I've made this year is to meditate regularly. And that's the one that I struggle with. I'm pretty good about my diet and exercise. And I think some of that is because I'm always giving people this advice. And so I would feel hypocritical if I didn't do it in my own life. And for me, therefore, it's a values, you know.
How many minutes of meditation would you like?
Well, so that's a great example of where I can start with a small number to hook myself, you know, so that there's no real obstacle in terms of time. And so I promise myself that I'll do 10 minutes. And everyone has 10 minutes mm-hmm. somewhere in their day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my way of coming back to a regular practice.
It is a great way to kind of start the day. I've tried it over the years, have not always been successful at it, but it is 10 minutes does seem like a very reasonable time to set aside at the beginning of the day to just sort of clear your head and think about the day ahead. Dr. Victoria Mazes, thank you very much. Happy New Year to you, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to all your listeners.
Thanks a lot. Dr. Victoria Mazes with us on the Buckmaster Show. Reverend Robin Hoover is next, founder of Tucson-based Humane Border. The Guard, the National Guard's border role is changing. We'll talk to Robin Hoover about that, what he thinks is going to be happening in that regard. Stay with us on the Buckmaster Show.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. More violence in Syria, where thousands of anti-government protesters continue clashing with security forces. Activists say Syrian forces fired guns and tear gas at the crowd in the central city of Hama, killing at least six people. Tensions are escalating over an Iranian threat to close down oil traffic in the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet is warning Iran that any disruption will not be tolerated. New surveys show Ron Paul is performing well ahead of next week's Iowa presidential caucuses. As a result, his GOP rivals are stepping up their criticism of the Texas congressman. North Korea has said goodbye to its former leader. In Pyongyang, thousands gathered in the snow for a 2.5-hour funeral procession for Kim Jong-il. Wall Street, the Dow is down 117 points. This is SRN News.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman. when it admits two people, and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's What's It with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Well, 34, it is the Buckmaster Wednesday edition on KVOI. That is our home station, AM 1030, KVOI The Voice, our Buckmaster show, live line 790-2040, 790-2040. Well, the National Guard's border security mission is shifting from the ground to the air. In January, the federal government will begin pulling out National Guard soldiers who are serving in observation posts near the border and replacing them with a plane and helicopters that will provide surveillance. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is the Reverend Robin Hoover. Reverend Hoover is the founder of the Tucson-based group Humane Borders. Reverend Hoover, Dr. Hoover, thanks for being with us.
Hey, glad to be with you again.
Tell me about the Guard's border role changing and what's your opinion of that?
My opinion is that it's a continuation of militarization of the border. We've gone in the last 12 years from 7 aircraft in the fleet, or air wing, if you will, for the Tucson sector. At one time, at least 45 aircraft were involved. I'm not sure what the current total is. And as we switch to the more military-style Predator, the very next thing we'll do is we'll arm those. It's a further militarization of the border that is not warranted yet. The surveys and the FBI stats show that the cities along the border are some of the safest locations in the United States. El Paso is the largest safe, low homicide rate city in the United States.
Well, the Border Patrol says that this new strategy has helped in really keeping the apprehensions of illegal border crossers now at a 17-year low. What is responsible for the fewer arrests?
Border Patrol is going to have to take some credit. There's no question about that. But I will clearly state that the decline of the economy in the United States is the single largest engine of that. And second, the economy in Mexico is booming right now at about 5% growth rate. So you add those two factors, and there's reasons to stay home.
In the border, the soldiers that will be along the border actually are. It's going to be dropping quite a bit. The new mission will have fewer boots on the ground, and they say now boots in the air. So it looks like that there'll be fewer guardsmen. But you say this putting the aircraft up just continues with the militarization of the border.
It does. It increases the firepower, if you will. The ability to die in the sky is not there for migrants. It's there for drugs and vehicles. It's difficult, actually, to find large groups of migrants on the ground, especially during the daylight hours, from the air. We've had a number of volunteer groups go up and look for migrants in aircraft. It's very difficult, even flying close to the ground in a little tail dragger or in those ultralights. It's very difficult. But most of the aircraft are used out there at night with forward-looking infrared, and they can see the body shining, if you will, in the infrared light. It's a lot easier. But primarily, you know, these are going to be looking for drug interdiction, that sort of thing. So, and that's a legitimate mission. But again, I just simply say it's one more step militarizing the border.
The sheriff in Luna County, New Mexico, out of Deming, New Mexico, is predicting now that the smugglers will be turning to the aircraft. Do you think that's going to be happening, using aircraft now to smuggle drugs and whatever into this country?
The cartels are extremely ingenious, and I have actually observed from the Mexican border side crop duster size aircraft making runs below radar going into the United States. So, you know, I've personally observed it, so I'm sure that I've always said if you can dream it up, it's probably happening out here on the border.
Reverend Robin Hoover is with us. He is the founder of Humane Borders. What's changed since you founded Humane Borders several years ago? What's changed in the discussion about illegal immigration and in this country?
In some regards, absolutely nothing has changed. A lot of people have been informed. The border has been significantly reported. I think it's not been analyzed correctly. I think the Border Patrol has the mindset that if they can simply get enough personnel and enough equipment, then they will have complete operational control of the border. Well, they may have the ability to respond anywhere along the border to a major crisis, but they still lack operational control. Migrants, and the thing that has always been my focus has been migrant safety, and so migrants continue to die in the same corridors, the same valleys, in roughly the same patterns year after year after year, which indicates that they've never controlled those areas. And the one thing that has concerns me even more today than it did in 2000 when Humane Borders was founded is that the rate of migrant deaths is going up. If you remember back in the year 2000, we had something like 630,000 apprehensions. Or 620,000, I forget what the number was, the huge number of apprehensions. And today it's, you know, it's under a quarter million apprehensions. And yet the deaths today are higher than they were in 2000.
So we're having less apprehensions by the Border Patrol, but as far as migrants dying in the desert, that rate's going up.
It's going up actually dramatically.
And how do you figure that?
Well, if you're standing, let's say 50 miles inside of away from the border, north of the border, and you're looking south, in any valley, you'll have mountain range to your right, a mountain range to your left, and a road down the middle. And the road is the safest place for anybody to go. And over the years, you built fences at the end of the road, not always up in the mountains. You've added sensors all over the place. You've got more agents going up and down that road. You've got volunteers and do-gooders going down the road. You've just got more people. The migrants respond to all of these tactics and equipment and National Guard by moving further into the more mountainous areas. And what happens is they have to walk in a more corrugated, rough terrain, and they're exposed to the elements for longer periods of time, and they just die at a greater rate. So every single thing that's been done in the last 12 years that I've been around, and adding more agents, adding more aircraft, adding more sensors, adding more fencing, all of these things are associated with this rise in the death. It's just pushing the migrants into the least hospitable areas.
And the word, you know, there was that big campaign to try to get the word how dangerous it is crossing the border. Has any of that helped?
Well, I don't know. In 2006, you may recall that I went to Mexico City, had a press conference. We were going to work with the National Commission on Human Rights to put out maps, that warning posters showing exactly what's in front of you, where the deaths are, what the distances are, et cetera. And Michael Chertoff came out and denounced me for doing that. And now Border Patrol is doing something similar. So I guess we've stayed ahead of them on some of the migrant safety ideas. But it's just impossible to measure the efficacy of those kinds of campaigns. One other factor that has caused fewer migrants to come is their perceived, whether it's real or not, perceived threats from the smugglers, the cartel. It's gotten more expensive. In 2000, it cost about anywhere from $600 to $800 to get from Altar, Sonora to Phoenix, and now it's about $2,400. So, the price has gone up, and the people are treated more like a commodity than they previously. Migrants cross with friends, relatives, and cousins, people that knew the route. So it's gotten dicier, and so there's just a whole confluence of things have come together to make it less likely that someone is going to come. But all that said, if we were to think back in the demand for cheap labor that we experienced in 2000 and the availability of lots of jobs, in other words, if you can imagine the economy turning around, there's no reason not to believe that huge numbers would come again in various locations along the border.
There's a change in leadership. Is that going to make much difference? Alan Burson, the Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, will be leaving in December 30. Then David Aguilar, former Chief of the Border Patrol, and he was the number two official at CBP, has been named the Acting Commissioner. Do you like David Aguilar?
I like David Aguilar. David Aguilar is a very competent, mutually competent public administrator. He believes in the professionalization of the service. He's the right man for the time. He's smooth. I don't know how to say it any other way. I'm trying to compliment him. He's the former Border Patrol chief, sector chief here in the Tucson sector. And I had a fabulous working relationship with him. Mr. Burson is a super politician. David is less of a politician. He's the consummate public servant, though, and I'm glad to see that.
Reverend Robin Hoover, thank you very much, founder of Humane Borders. We want to wish you a very happy new year, and let's hope 2012 is a year where we actually see, for the first time in many years, fewer migrant deaths in the desert. Thank you, sir.
That would be great. Blessings to all.
Thanks a lot. 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. Thanks to Robin Hoover. We will be back. We'll have our CEO interview series presented by Trio. That's next.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More. Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Up on 1249 on the Buckmaster Show, and at least once a month here on the show, we introduce you to a leader of one of Tucson's largest companies and organizations. The CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by TRIO, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated the relocation and/or expansion of more than 40 companies in the Tucson region, representing nearly 11,000 jobs and a $2 billion economic impact. For more information, visit TRIO, that's TREOAZ.org. And today we talk with TRIO board member Mara Aspinall, president and CEO of Ventana Medical Systems and global head of the Roche Tissue Diagnostics. Ventana is a member of the Roche Group, a worldwide leader in the development, manufacturing, and commercialization of tissue-based cancer diagnostic equipment and products that enable the delivery of personalized health care to cancer patients. Mara is also the founder and former CEO of an innovative personalized medicine company focused on transforming cancer patient management through the capture and characterization of circulating tumor cells in a patient's blood. In 2010, Mara was named one of the 100 most inspiring people in the life sciences field by Pharma Voice magazine. Roche and Ventana Medical Systems, along with Sanofi, another global pharmaceutical, are the anchor tenants at Innovation Park in Oro Valley. Mara, how are you today?
I am very well. Good to speak to you, Bill.
It's good to speak with you. What kind of a year has this been for Ventana?
It has been a great year all around. Our mission is improving the lives of cancer patients, and we've had the opportunity to continue to fulfill that mission and bring more jobs to Tucson.
What is your employment level there now at Ventana?
We have 1,200 people on the Tucson campus, and another 500 around the world.
So this is certainly a growing, and it's a wonderful piece of economic development for Oro Valley and for, I know I've been out at that Innovation Park. It really is a gorgeous setting, isn't it?
Thank you. We very much believe so. And it allows us to be the innovation engine that we see ourselves. We have a full spectrum of services right here in Tucson. So, as you know, we are the leading developer and manufacturer of medical instruments and reagent systems for the diagnosis of cancer and other infectious diseases. So, in Tucson, we manufacture 200 state-of-the-art cancer tests and the related instruments. We distribute those in about 55 countries. And most importantly, they impact directly 4 million people afflicted with cancer around the world.
That is a huge mission, and I know finding new medicines, Mara, and the diagnostic tools to fight cancer is really at Ventana's, it's the heart of what you do. How is that effort, Mara, changing? How do you see it changing in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, for us, we will continue to drive innovation in the tissue diagnostics part of the industry. And when I talk about tissue diagnostics, what that means is the biopsy itself, which happens to virtually every cancer patient at their time of diagnosis, but also continues throughout the course of their treatment where we continue to get tissue samples to diagnose and to better monitor the patient. The most important innovation is linking the most accurate diagnosis with the most targeted treatment. You've heard this called personalized medicine or personalized healthcare. We believe the future in medicine lies in the customization of this type.
And the seeking out of the tumor, we're really getting, as you say, a targeted kind of approach to cancer. So when you're dealing with tumors, I guess you're really looking for what every patient's perhaps their treatment eventually could be different, right? It'd be a personalized, customized treatment.
Exactly. And what we focus on is the discovery of better, more accurate, and more precise cancer tests that allow the pathologist to take those biopsies and look at them at the molecular level, at the genetic level, and the protein level to determine the most specific course of therapy for each individual patient. As a member of the Roche group, we get to draw on incredibly powerful partnerships with our sister divisions that create the drugs and link the two to make this approach a reality. As you've talked about, the power of the most effective treatment is getting the right drug to the right patient at the beginning of the treatment cycle, at the beginning of their treatment pathway when they're first diagnosed. And as powerful and as strong as the drugs we have available today are, they only work for patients with a particular genetic code. And we need to find that code and match it with the drug that works best for each patient.
What are some of the strengths that Tucson offers the bioscience industry? This is a huge industry, and Tucson is really trying to position itself to be a leader in this country and perhaps the world, is it not?
It is, and I am confident that we will continue to make strong progress there. So let me first say the diversified strengths of Tucson are in diagnostic testing, medical labs, hospitals, and broadly research. And those provide the ideal foundation for us to build a bioscience leadership. But we have to be cognizant that in order to thrive in the future, I believe we will need three things. First, a critical mass of companies. And as strong as we are at Ventana Roche, Sanofi, and other companies, we do need to bring other companies in the field to our area. Number two, ongoing collaborative efforts amongst many entities, including government, to strengthen our business climate and economic development and allow companies to grow quickly here. And third, and not entirely obvious to some, but I believe we need to continue to enhance our pre-K to 12 education system. It is the single most important question that any candidate asks, how good are your schools, when they decide whether they want to move to Tucson, take a job here, and be part of a community. And as business leaders, we need to understand and support that and ensure that we have the next generation of Tucsonians educated in the best, highest quality system.
Yeah, education is so important, and we just cannot shortchange it here in Arizona if we're going to attract more bioscience and more industry to our area. And I know you've been working, Ventana is very active in the community, trying to do education outreach to young people. You have a Young Scientist Day. Mara, what's the most important thing in attracting young people to science?
Well, it is to make it interesting and relevant to take the science education in the schools, improve it fundamentally, but give it a context for these kids at all ages. Specifically, at Ventana, we host 100 high school students and teach them about science education on cancer diagnostics. We believe cancer is an incredibly important field to talk about because, as we all know, it touches all of us, and it's quite pernicious. And it does not affect only one type or one part of the population, but affects all of us. So what we do is bring these high school students in, and they spend the day at Ventana learning hands-on from our own scientists about the important research we do. They get to work in the lab and understand how the theoretical that they read in the textbooks and learn in their classrooms really come to create a new instrument, a new test, and a new technology.
And I would encourage all of our listeners to check out Innovation Park, where Ventana and Sanofi are located. I've been to your facility. I've seen the wonderful gallery space you have of the Adriel Heise photographs. It's amazing that you have so much space and you've devoted it to art. It's a fantastic facility, and the public is invited to go. Just call and make an appointment. Correct, Mara?
That is true, and we will have an ongoing commitment to have 4 different shows a year open to the public to be able to enjoy our space and to continue to enhance it and to promote the arts, which is also an important part of our cultural community.
Mara Aspinall, the president and CEO of Ventana Medical Systems, located in Innovation Park in Oro Valley, thank you very much. I want to wish you the best of New Year's. Have a great New Year, Mara.
Thank you, too. Happy New Year.
Thanks a lot. Mara Aspinall on the Buckmaster Show, the CEO interview series presented by Trio. The Buckmaster Show is made possible in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, as advertised, we will be talking about ways to quit smoking. We'll be talking with the people from the ASH line at the University of Arizona. Also, the Eller College Dean will be with us, and Rick Myers, Board of Regents on the Arizona Board of Regents. Bill Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon. Thank you.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the voice.